They're merchant bankers with terminal diseases, every time one sneezes, the other banker teases. Well, we've been dying to bring you this episode for a long time.
Very apropos.
Yes. Welcome back to Romper Ruminations. We had a little bit of a break there.
It was a protracted break.
Yeah, but this is our season one finale.
So it's big news.
Yeah. And, oh, and by the way, you are?
Kevin Machino, and you are?
Leo Antonelli.
Welcome to Studio 8 and no oxygen.
It's hot out today.
Look, I think all the elements are in place.
Yes, and hopefully we won't die of oxygen deprivation today.
But we'll see.
But that's sort
It'll
of the
touch and go.
A big part of our topic today. The topic today is merchant bankers with terminal diseases. That's a mouthful.
It is.
It's a show, I think, back in about 1983. I had this vague recollection. I was 16 years old. And my brother was Fab, was about 11. And we watched a lot of TV in our youth. We stumbled on this show. I think it was a mid-season replacement in the summer.
It's a long summer, yeah. Best, you know.
Right. And it was called Merchant Bankers with Terminal Diseases. And it was just like it sounded. It was on ABC. And it only lasted, I think, about 6 episodes. But it was so weird and so strange that it left an impression on us.
And those episodes haven't been released on DVD yet.
No, and so I think they have like maybe one or two snippets on YouTube, yeah, that you can find. But we really all we have to go on is our own memories, because you've never seen the show. Is that correct?
No. Listen, I'm going to be asking a lot of questions throughout this.
The only person I ever knew who saw this show was my brother Fab, who lives in Sackville, New Brunswick. So we placed a transcontinental call.
Oh, through the miracle of modern technology.
Yeah, well,
I think we're linking it up.
Hopefully, this will work. Fab, are you out there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I managed to make it there.
Now, they used to have big communication towers in New Brunswick, I remember.
Yeah, they were torn down, but we could still communicate with the outside world. So it is a miracle.
That, yeah. Even without these towers.
Even without, no, they knocked them down. Yeah, but we still go on. We still march on.
Okay.
March on?
March on?
Not march on.
Oh, sorry. What do you remember about this show, Fab? Do you remember much about it?
Not as much as you. I was younger.
You were a little younger, yeah.
It was odd. I did remember that they did have their bowler hats on, that they were British. I don't think they were British. They were American, but they, for some reason, dressed like
they were British.
The British merchant bankers.
Right. Because even the term merchant bankers, I think, is a British term, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's typically used in North America. You're right.
No.
Gosh, I keep picturing John Steed from the Avengers when I...
They had matching suits, I know that, and hats. Did they have umbrellas, too?
They probably had umbrellas.
If they were used them as weapons, though.
Even in sunny SoCal.
That's right. But they also lived together. I remember that. They shared an apartment. Was that it?
Yeah. For some reason, yeah. Which, again, I found odd, because they're merchant bankers. So why were they sharing an apartment together?
Right. You would assume they were pretty wealthy and could afford better digs.
Yeah. It was not a nice apartment. It was... It was like one room, basically, wasn't it? Like with the Laverne and Shirley kind of.
Yeah, I think that was basically a lot of the stuff we're probably gonna talk about. How, like, why was this like that? Why was this like
that?
Well,
they may have just been as parsimonious as, you know, Jack Benny or something
right.
like that.
So. Or I think it was just that the writing was shoddy and the budget was low. And I think it's better for the cameras if it's just one big room, right? With the multi-camera back then.
So I think lazy really underscores the show.
Like, right.
Everything was done in a really lazy way.
Right. It may not have made sense. Like, let's talk, like, the pilot episode, right, is a good example of that. because right. It starts with them visiting the doctor together. Like, who goes to the, like, apart from you and your kid, maybe. I mean, it's odd that they had the same doctor and they were seeing them at the exact same time. And coincidentally, they had the same terminal disease. They never really got into the specifics, I don't think, of the disease.
No.
But they both, terminal.
It was terminal. And they both had it somehow.
Yeah.
But they were not related.
But they lived together.
Is it like that myth about women having syncing up their menstrual cycle?
Yes.
Maybe if you live together as men, you could.
Yeah.
If one has a terminal disease, the other will get it.
Sync up your bowler hat and then sync up your terminal disease.
So they find out that they've got this disease. But then the episode, I remember, takes a weird turn because for some reason they have to go visit their friends just opened up a new butcher shop. Do you remember this, Fab?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the opening shot was odd because it opened with them in the doctor's office, both in their
suits,
like,
yeah.
No, not in their suit. I think
Hospital gowns?
In the hospital
gowns. Oh, right, that's right. I can't tell you
what they could still have their bowler hats on with the hospital.
But they have their bowler hats on. You're exactly right.
I think that makes sense. Case. Okay.
That makes me happy.
Yeah. Okay.
And then he just broke the news. So right away the viewer got the fact that these guys both had a terminal disease. And then it didn't seem to they kind of were not really fazed by it, because you're right. Then all of a sudden the next scene was, well, we have to go to this butcher shop, which is, again, I found really strange.
Yeah.
That you're given this news and you just carried on your day.
Yeah. So I think they got a tour of the shop and the friend said, here, why don't you guys check out the meat locker? I've got to go and deal with some customers. And they got trapped in the meat locker. Yeah. And of course, in TV sitcom world, whenever that happens, you start reminiscing, and then it turns into a clip show. But
yeah,
they did this in the first episode.
So as flashbacks go, it's pretty narrow.
They basically flash back to the beginning of the episode where they found out they had a terminal disease.
But if they were stuck in the meat locker, at least they'd never starve to death, right?
No,
maybe they would.
Well, I guess they could gnaw at the meat. But they also, you know, they flash back to them going to see their friend at the butcher. And up until the moment where they got caught in the meat lock, it could have been that they just were not expecting that this show would go past the first episode. So they really wanted this clip show, this, flashback episode.
Fit in as much as possible.
Yeah. They thought, let's get it in now.
Yeah.
While we got a chance.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was one of the very odd choices that they made on this show.
I think you're being generous. I thought, like most 80s sitcoms, they were just really lazy and they didn't even finish a full episode. So they just had the flashback to fill out the episode.
Right. But what was weird, though, there was stuff that I think came after the meat locker incident in the episode. So I'm not sure why they didn't put that at the end of the show. Or was it, see, this is where it gets hazy. Or was that just the first episode?
Were they eventually freed from the meat locker?
Yeah, I think what the friend comes in and said, it wasn't even locked. Why would it lock from from the inside? You know,
he was actually outside in the store, was he not?
Yeah. He was just like a few feet away.
So they weren't in any peril at all. But they, I do remember they had to try to, because that warmth thing, they had to huddle for warmth or something like that.
In a meat locker, no one can hear you scream.
That's right. So. But I don't know if this was the first or the second episode, but eventually they go back to the office. And I just remember one of the first things they say is we can't tell anyone, like no one must know about this.
Yeah.
Again, for no reason. Like, I don't know why they wouldn't tell people. And they have this big discussion in a crowded elevator about how no one must know.
No, it wasn't crowded. It was just them and the one person who overheard it.
Their secretary.
Yes. It was right behind them. It was not a crowded elevator. It was just the three of them.
You know, I think you're right. But the way I said it makes more sense. But again, it could be they just didn't want to pay extra.
That I remembered, because she was just standing right behind them.
Right. And then they walked out and she was there and like, my God. Yes, yeah. I remember.
Okay.
Again, it could be just like, we don't have the budget for that many extras. So we'll just have the three guys we're paying anyway.
That could be it,
But then I remember, though, this came up that one says, we can't tell anyone. He says, not even Debbie. And the other guy says, no. And then the guy says, but she's my ex-wife. And then the other guy says, she's my ex-wife too. Do you remember that, Pat?
Yes. They were married to the same woman.
Right. And divorced from the same woman. Now, did they marry her at the same time? Or?
I think they did. Wow. I remember they married her at the same time because they made a reference to like how they felt somewhat foolish for doing that.
Right.
But there's something about how either they had different corsages on. So therefore.
So you could tell them apart. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't know why it mattered. They had different corsages because she didn't. Like she had. She looked so like I didn't understand why that would have caused. It's usually the other way around.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I don't know. They took that as the explanation as to how they managed to marry the same woman at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Which made sense in their own logic, but not to real logic.
No.
But in the internal logic of the show, it made sense.
Yeah.
But
and that's what counts.
Right. And like a lot of sitcoms, like this woman was a big part of their lives. Right. She would hang out with them and. This fraternizing with your ex is a big thing in sitcoms, and this was no exception, I think.
Yeah,
which is weird.
But she was awful. Like she was just a real awful person to them, if I recall.
Yes. Right.
Like really crude, really crass to them.
Yeah, belittling them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So let's back up to the secretary. She sort of becomes their confidant, and she's the one because who overhears that they do have this disease. So. They can talk about it with her, but that's it. And I believe she was played by Wendy Jo Sperber from Bosom Buddies.
Yeah.
And I think the ex-wife was played by Holland Taylor, who was also in Bosom Buddies.
Wow.
I think so.
All these intersections.
Yeah. Either that or we're just remembering Bosom Buddies. And that there was no such thing as a show at all.
It could have been a low rent Wendy Jo Sperber. We just didn't even realize it.
You mean the poor man?
The poor man's Wendy.
The poor man. Yeah.
Wendy Jo Sperber.
I don't even know what that would.
I don't know, but
it boggles the imagination.
You got me curious now.
Yeah, and every episode, I remember they had a catchphrase. Do you remember what it was, Faz? They would say the same line at the end of every episode.
I think they were trying to make it like a catchphrase. You're right, but it was something about who had to make dinner or something.
Yeah, it was like, wasn't it like it's your turn to make the sloppy joes?
That's right. They love sloppy joes, which again, question like maybe that's why they have this terminal disease because
they eat it every day.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sloppy joes are notoriously cheap to buy as well and make, right?
Even though, again, as bankers, you think they could afford to eat out at a fine restaurant.
These are like no merchant bankers I've ever seen before.
Okay. So that's the basic setup of the show. But I think then, I mean, I don't know if the, like the whole terminal disease thing really comes up in subsequent episodes.
Not really. I don't remember it being like, it didn't really drive the show. That meat locker thing was a good example of it. They just abandoned it. I don't even think they flashed back to getting that. Did they get, they might've flashed back to getting the news, but not really much beyond that.
Right.
So they, yeah.
It was kind of like the hook of the show was that, okay, that's how ABC sold it, I think.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like Family Ties when the whole premise of that show was supposed to be the parents are from the 60s, the kids are from the 80s, they're more conservative than their parents. And then after a few episodes, they just abandoned that and it became like any other family sitcom. And I think this was the same. It was just sort of there in the background. And once in a while, it would crop up. I remember their old college roommate comes for a visit. Do you remember that episode?
That's right. Yeah, it did show up. Yeah.
And he's also a merchant banker?
Yes.
Does he dress the same as them?
I believe so. I think they were all dressed the same. So it's three of them, basically.
Yeah. And they had to cover up with that they're dying, but the friend keeps finding clues. Like he finds an estate planning brochure.
Yeah.
And I think a burial shawl. And they had to be like, what's this?
Do they still make those things?
I think for these guys, they were kind of old school.
Oh, that's right.
But he said, oh, that's just like a blanket. I get cold at night. So so they managed to cover it up.
But their undertaker must have known about their
plight.
Yeah.
Well, I think that undertaker is kind of like, he's like a doctor. There's sort of undertaker corpse.
Undertones.
Undertaker corpse confidentiality. Right.
A confidant.
Yeah.
I like it.
He wouldn't tell anyone. Because if you start blabbing about stuff like that, no one's going to trust you anymore.
That's right.
I don't know. Were there any other memorable episodes?
Yeah. There was one where I think they're handcuffed together, weren't they?
Right. I do remember that. They were something about a briefcase and they had an important presentation. and one didn't trust the other. And so they ended up like having one was handcuffed to the other while they were
being handcuffed to the briefcase.
Yeah.
Like a daisy chain kind of a thing.
Exactly.
Oh, that can go very wrong if you're not careful.
Well, I think they forgot the key. They forgot where they put the key.
That would do it.
And they showed up at the presentation with the handcuffs.
Yeah. I think they got, they're handcuffed in their apartment together.
Yeah.
And then somehow had to get,
to the office.
Yeah. It's hard to do that when you're handcuffed, without arousing suspicion or.
Right. But it's sort of like, it was wacky, right?
Yeah.
It brought up a lot of good opportunities for some hilarity, hijinks.
Right. And again, we don't know why they had to handcuff themselves to a briefcase.
No.
It was really odd.
And do you remember when they had a big fight? They had an argument.
Yes.
And they divided. They did that thing where they divide the apartment in half.
Yeah.
But I think they took it up a notch because they actually started, like, they laid a brick wall between them.
That's right. Yeah. Like, yeah, they did a la Lucy, right? They cut the apartment in half and then.
Yeah, it wasn't just tape.
I don't know why. With tape, but then for some reason escalated, so they actually bricked it off.
Right.
Wow.
And the guy who didn't have the bathroom was like just going to the bathroom on the floor. Wow. And then the guy who didn't have the kitchen was like almost starving to death.
Yeah.
And I think didn't the ex-wife come in and intervene and just
with a sledgehammer?
I don't know. I don't remember how they ended up solving it. It's all very hazy.
She did. I don't know. Yeah. I think she knocked down the wall somehow.
Yeah.
Like both metaphorically and
literally. Mr. Gorbachev.
Tear down this wall.
Yeah.
I think, they predated that. I think that's where Reagan got the idea.
I think so too.
He was watching it. You know what?
I can use this.
Then there was, I think, they had a very special episode or a couple, I remember.
Oh,
yeah. Do you remember that?
Okay. I'm thinking too, like, for some reason, like all the 80s shows too, they carried like the laugh track, and they also carried that kind of like, the shocked kind of sound that an audience makes, but it's all really kind of fake. The hush that comes. So they had all that. So I do remember, and that was one of them happened to the secretary, right? Like, because she had an episode. And you're supposed to be something about, I don't know, you're supposed to feel sad for something. I don't remember that one particularly, but is that where you're talking about one of the special episodes?
Yeah, I have a vague recollection of that. But I also remember there was a kid who had AIDS who lived like in the next apartment.
Right.
And he became like an inspiration to them. Was that? I think I found a clip on YouTube about that. Should we just listen to the clip? All right. I'll play the clip.
I'm all ears.
Okay, here it is.
Hiya, champ. How's it going?
Well, I got AIDS, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
So you notice that they kept the laugh track in the episode.
That's correct.
Even though it got pretty serious, I think.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I don't know why they did that.
Well, a lot of episodes in the 80s, like sitcoms, did that, right? They would have like, these really serious, but then they would lighten the mood a little bit.
Yeah.
Every few minutes just to, to show you that, this is still a sitcom.
I like that.
Yeah.
So the kid taught them how to embrace death.
Yeah. But then we never heard about this kid again. Whether he's alive or dead, or it was just abandoned. Do you remember any other episodes?
Yeah. I do remember a lot of times you thought this was going to be a character. Like everything.
Yeah.
Like when they brought their friend in, you thought, is he going to be in it? And he wasn't. Then the kid with AIDS, you thought, is he going to be like, and he never showed. But again, it was only six episodes, so maybe he would have showed up five or six episodes later.
They just didn't.
But they didn't get to
have the legs for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think
did that. They introduced a lot of characters and then just abandoned them.
One of the last episodes, I think, if not the last episode, like I think in an attempt to bolster sagging ratings, they adopt an 8-year-old street urchin. And because they realize that they don't have an heir and they want to groom him to take over, and they get frustrated, but he cannot comprehend, the complicated banking regulations involved in their work. And because I remember that a lot. They would talk a lot about these really complex regulations and facets of their job that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Do you think they'd force him to wear a bowler hat too?
I think they did, actually. They tried to like outfit him into their little mini.
That's abuse.
Was he like a Cockney accent?
Boy, yeah, like, for like some reason he did thing? Have a Cockney accent, I think. And yeah. he called Governor. It was very yeah. anachronistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the regulations part really dragged the show down. Like, if it's trying to be a comedy, like 5 minutes on a banking, an international banking regulation didn't make a lot of sense.
No.
Really
would really like get into a lot of detail, I remember.
Yeah.
And they would have to keep up because the regulations at that time were changing so quickly. They couldn't keep up.
Like Reagan and Thatcher really changed the economic landscape. So again, really problematic.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, I thought totally unnecessary. Like, I don't think people were tuning in to find out the latest on, you know, IPOs or investments or things like that.
Right.
It didn't make any sense. Right.
No.
So it was an odd choice on their part to go hard that direction.
One of many odd choices I think they made.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Do you have any other questions, Kevin, that see if we could jog our memory about this?
Did they have a theme song?
I think they did. They're merchant bankers with terminal diseases. Every time one sneezes, the other banker teases. They've lost their faith in Jesus. They really love their cheeses.
Their cheeses.
Because I remember they always ate a lot of cheese, I remember.
And
I
think they have a cheese plate, yeah.
Yeah.
To supplement the, what was it? Hamburger Helper?
No. Sloppy Joe's.
Sorry, Sloppy Joe's.
Yeah, they had a terrible diet.
Yeah.
But I think it was in the credits, there was a credit for the Dairy Farmers of America.
Oh, yeah. There's the tie-in.
And I think that wasn't the like the theme song a cappella.
Yes. It was like the Manhattan Transfer like kind of song.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
If only we had the Manhattan Transfer to perform our theme song.
Right? Wow. But we need words though, I think.
No offense to Sean either. No. Like that's, you know.
Let's during the break, because this is our last episode of the season, maybe during the break we'll come up with some words for the theme song and get
if
the Manhattan Transfer can come out of.
Yeah.
Are they even in retirement?
We can ask Julie for some accompaniment as well, you know, and try to improve on that theme song.
Yes. The sitcom, like is the sitcom format, there are not many sort of multi-camera laugh track sitcoms anymore, unfortunately. No.
Like on like a studio, like.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, there's no way you could pull off a show like that.
No.
You'd want to put a show like that on the air. It was terrible.
Yeah, but it had, I do remember it had an impact because it was so unusual. Now, I don't know why it was that way. I mean, I think the way they promoted it was in ABC. I think we have a picture of this on our website. I found an ad that they used. It was a René Magritte painting, I think, of a guy in a bowler hat. And it was one of the guy and a sort of the outline of the guy with a landscape in the background. I can't remember the name of the picture, but they used that as part of the promotional material. I don't know. I think, were they trying to do something more with the format? Or if they did, I think they failed.
Yeah. They went in too many different directions, I felt. Like, again, like, what was the show about? Like, who was it for? Like, it made no sense, really, in terms of its audience, right? Like, I don't know who the audience would have been.
Yeah.
Even if it were for merchant bankers, how many merchant bankers are there that are going to
pick
up this show?
A small target audience, I think.
Yeah.
Or is it just people who like sitcoms? I mean, it wasn't even a family either. That's another thing. Maybe that's why they tried to adopt that boy in the end, but it was sort of too little too late.
I don't think they were going to renew it past 6 episodes. And I think they knew that.
Yeah. But they refused to release it on DVD, I think, because it was so bad.
It was terrible.
And I think, you know, you got people who, I think, recorded on their old VCRs and transferred a copy, but only little snippets like that one we used. And it's too bad because, I don't know. Is it too bad?
I don't think it's too bad.
I think it's too bad. I think, you know, the archivist in me says it's too bad.
Well, you like to preserve everything, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe some things aren't worth preserving. Ever thought about that? They should just go by the wayside.
You may say that now, but what about a little further down the road?
I'd kill to find a copy of that right now. I would just to see if my memory jogs with what actually, you know, transpired.
Some eccentric millionaire would pay a lot of money to have those, I bet.
I I think you're right.
In time.
Yeah. I think you're right. Well, have we exhausted this topic or is there more?
I'm exhausted.
Just thinking,
but that's the oxygen.
The heat and the oxygen deprivation that is hastening that. It's better. I mean, I'd rather be stuck in a meat locker than in the studio, I think. We should do an episode where we're caught in meat and we reminisce about, we do a clip show.
One time. We can say, oh, you remember the good old days when we were, you know, dying of heat exhaustion and hypoxia in Studio 8?
Right.
Oh, those were the days. Oh, I miss those.
Well, Fab, thanks for helping us try to figure this out. But
unpack this.
Unpack it is a good word.
This is,
It was certainly packed. That's for certain.
Packed tighter than a bunch of slabs in a meat locker.
Wow. Maybe they were sort of foreshadowing that they would become a slab one day.
Yeah.
Maybe this like That's sort right. of, it was deeper than we thought, running on more levels than we could appreciate.
It's deep.
Possible.
So it ended with a whimper and not a bang.
Yeah.
It started with a whimper, I believe.
And ended with a whimper, I think.
Yeah.
And in between, there was a whimper, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like it.
Well, we'll let Fab go.
Sure.
And,
thanks, Fab.
Thank you for helping us out today.
Yeah.
And
like I say, this is all new to me.
The first transcontinental link up in the history of Romper Rumination.
History has been made once again.
Yeah. Awesome.
And I assure you, it won't be the last time.
No. Well, maybe the next time will be a transatlantic.
Oh, I want it to be transatlantic.
Okay. Well, we'll thank you again, Fab. And we'll hopefully have you on some other time if we can think of another show that we used to watch that we can't really remember.
It's true.
It only ran for six episodes.
Bye for now. Okay. So that does it for season one.
Wow. What a whirlwind of a season that was.
That, man. Yeah. I mean, 8 episodes. I can't believe we
count them.
Came up with so many.
And some very special guests as well.
Ah, yes. We want to thank all our special guests.
A lot of people to thank. Well,
Matt.
A few.
Catalano.
Brian Howard.
Fab Antonelli. I think that's it for special guests. Yeah. But we also want to thank Sean Bogenkamp for the music.
Yes, indeed.
Awesome music. And also That's thanks nice. To Sean and Nicole Armour for helping us with the Grama Sutra episode.
Yeah.
The research.
Yes.
Unpaid research, just for the love of the podcast.
For now.
For now. Until we start making the big bucks, then they'll be the first in line.
But we're not.
Oh, and don't forget Julie Pearson.
Sorry. Oh, Julie.
For her wonderful rendition of Free Laurie Loughlin.
The Sweet Strains.
Oh.
And, but you know what? We're not going to leave our listeners in the lurch.
You rang. No, we would never do that to them. So while we're preparing the episodes for season two,
yes,
we are going to give them little
bite-sized
little nuggets of pop culture.
Mini romps.
We're calling them mini romps.
Yes. Highly digestible.
Bite size.
I love that.
Yeah. So it might not be the same length, but length isn't everything. That's
sort of speak.
Yes. And that's what I pin a lot of my hopes on anyway. But that's another story.
And another podcast.
That's Romper Ruminations After Dark that we're calling it. But we digress. We're even digressing in this little...
I know.
In our send-off.
I know.
We can't even like do a tight... Proper
No.
But without rambling on about. Okay.
These excursions. It's all right.
Okay. But it's been fun.
I've had a good time.
Yeah. But we'll be back soon, sooner than you think, with our mini romps. And then season two, we're going to have some great episodes.
Oh, look out. Look out for season two.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give anything away right now.
No.
Probably because I don't know anything right now.
Right. Anyway, you just gave that away.
So much for
how little planning goes into this podcast.
Poker face.
Right. That's about it, I think.
That's great.
Oh, I hear the... Is that our outro music?
Well, now I hear the outro music.
Okay. Well,
before I think I was just hearing things, but...
OK. again, could be oxygen deprivation. So we better sign off before we pass out.
Sounds good to me.
We'll see you soon with our mini romps, and we'll see you next season for season two of Romp Illuminations.
In the meantime, have plenty of lavender honey and stay well.
Yes. And we'll see you next time.
Bye for now.